Hi, so it's our ninth episode of Colour Out the Box. So hello everyone. And it's been a while, so it's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You was missed on the last episode. It felt quite strange recording without you.
I heard the episode and I was like, this is so strange. I was like, this is actually really good.
I kept on laughing and like looking to my left, like, where is she?
Yeah.
She's not there. What's she doing?
I know. But yeah, so let's introduce ourselves. I'm Jay.
Yes. Oh, of course. And I'm Mo.
Just in case we have some new listeners.
Yeah.
Welcome
back, Jay.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
For those that you haven't listened to the previous episode, which you should have, Jay was absent and we had our stand-in alternate Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, he did an okay job.
No, it was good. I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah. Just before we continue, I feel like I need to make a public announcement.
Okay.
On the last episode, I declared to the world that you'd gone to Barcelona.
Yes, you did.
And that was a lie.
It was a there, you should have put disclaimer there. Like, so here's the deal. I did not go to Barcelona.
No, you didn't.
I did go to Spain.
Yes, that is
but
true.
But not Barcelona. I went to Granada.
Yeah, and the joke is you actually said you was going there.
Yes, I did.
On our fifth episode, Black Women Travel Too.
Yeah,
and
then exactly.
I somehow made up that you'd gone to Barcelona.
I told people. A lot of people did. A lot of people were like, oh, how's Barcelona? I was like, I did not go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Why is everyone
so
talking about Barcelona?
My sincere apologies for that blatant lie that I told. The joke is, I actually went to Barcelona.
Then you went to, so it was actually, that was quite funny.
I think I just got really confused. So yeah.
Oh, well, so this is, as I said, this is our ninth episode.
Yes.
So we're just going to get straight into it.
So what you been up to? Fill us in.
This week?
Yeah.
Gosh, it's been a crazy week. I feel like there's been a lot.
Mm. There's always loads going on.
Yes. Well, so there was this new series that came out.
Yeah.
The premiere was the beginning of this week.
Yeah.
Gorilla.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. We might as well just go straight into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So you put me on that and what was happening.
So,
I'd seen the posters, but I didn't know what it was about. I'd heard about it that
Sky, I think it's a partnership between Sky Atlantic and Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing this new series about the, I suppose you'd call it the Black British kind of like movement in the 70s. So I was like, cool, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd want to watch that. And we've talked about a lot in the past, in our past episodes, about the representation of Black British people, that it's not really there on like the main stage, the world stage. So I was like, great, this is a great opportunity for, you know, a story about us.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, not obviously us, but, you know, our people kind of thing, being Black British. So I thought this is definitely something to watch. And then there was a preview screening or premiere screening in London.
Yeah.
And they did a Q&A following it. Now, as I said, I didn't know much about the series other than that. So I thought, okay, I can see it trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll have a look. And one of the audience members rightly so queried the fact that the main lead is played by Frida Pinto.
The main female lead.
Main female lead. And if you don't know her, she is a Asian woman. She's Indian.
Yeah, she's Indian, yeah.
Which, you know, was a bit strange considering the program is about, you know.
So it's about, about the Black Power movement in the 70s.
Yeah, in the UK.
So you would just assume, so Black people are in this series.
Yeah.
But which there are some.
Yeah, there are some.
Actors, yeah.
Yeah, but in the leading roles, which is centered around a couple, Idris Elba plays the husband. And Frida Pinto plays...
Oh, actually, it's the other... It's someone else.
Oh, sorry.
It's someone else that plays the husband.
Sorry, it's... I know who it is. We'll look it up.
Yes.
but the point is that this was queried in the Q&A by one of the audience members, and the director of the series didn't take the question too well. Mm. And then referenced the fact that he is in a mixed relationship. And I didn't really quite get his explanation as to why.
Yeah.
But I can understand why people are querying it, because it's a big big TV series. It's going to be shown in the States as well as the UK.
Yeah.
It's the probably one of the first times that we've had this properly, you know, this story being told.
Yeah, exactly.
Such an important story. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, I don't know, dismisses the whole involvement of black women within that movement.
Yeah, and I think sort of on reading a bit about it, it's... Yeah. I think to be honest, I don't know what was in that person's mind when they asked the question. But from my view, it's like, that's a valid question. But it does, you know, of course, it doesn't take away from the fact that, yes, there were Asian women involved in
the movement. Of course.
Absolutely. But this is, and another thing, it's not a historical account.
No.
As in, it's not a historical account about this couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fine enough, you can have whoever you want to be in those roles. But I think it's still problematic.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, I'm not... For me, it doesn't...
It just seems strained in such an important story.
Yeah.
Why not center it around, you know, a black woman and her partner? It just seemed a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think the director, when the question was asked, implied that you know, no race is better than another, and that wasn't the question. The question was like, why wasn't you including black women?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, there are black women in this TV series, just to be clear. However, they're not in that prominent role. Yeah. And that was
one of the black women in the role is actually, she's an informant.
Yes.
So,
again.
I don't know. It's like, it's one of these things that I feel like there will be a lot of people saying, oh, people are too sensitive about these things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's important to raise these questions to have the discussion.
Yeah.
And sort of leading up to that as well, I mean, not leading up to that, but during that Q&A, there was this whole thing about Frida Pinto breaking down
in tears.
I don't know if that was true. Was that true?
I think
did that really happen?
Maybe she cried a little bit. Okay. However, again, it kind of supported the point, because then it kind of deflected the conversation away from... black women being erased from this narrative, to now the focus just being on, black women made another woman, an Asian woman, cry.
Well, the headline I saw was Frida Pinto cries after being questioned by Black Lives Matter activists.
Yes, they went for it.
And I was like, wow.
It was a valid question.
Yeah.
And... again, I mean, it sparked a whole debate on Twitter about being a black woman and being constantly accused of being aggressive. You know, I've been in the workplace where I've had colleagues that are not black cry.
Mm-hmm.
I've never cried at work.
Yeah.
But I'm always very careful about my words, how I speak, for fear of, if they start crying, I'll be seen as the bully, the bad guy.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just saying... just point out something they're doing wrong or something like that, or we're just having a conversation. So that thing of that fear of being cried at is quite real for black women in the workplace.
And
this again kind of replicated that, because then it all became about
about that. It was actually just a question
that was
and trying to open up the discussion,
because
about
to be clear, no one was against Frida Pinto as actress, or you know, her
or even
ability
in the role, he's a producer, he can have anyone he wants in that role.
The question wasn't even directed towards her, so for her to become emotional or start crying, it was a shame, because it again, as I said, it distracted from the real subject matter, which was quite a valid question.
It was interesting, and I sort of got into researching a bit more. A friend of mine sent me this article that John Ridley, who's the director, of Guerrilla, he had written an article in 2006 in the magazine called Esquire.
Sent it to me.
Yeah, quite a shocking title, quite a shocking article to read, and I can just give like a quick synopsis, but basically about how he uses the N-word. He says there's a minority within the black community who are, then he uses the N-word.
Yeah.
And that these people are sort of, basically that these people are to blame for their own demise and for their own failures. It was just such a strange article to read. I just didn't get it. I was like,
When you sent it to me,
how could this have been published, first of all?
Yeah.
And where is this guy coming from?
And what was the point?
It was quite disturbing, to be honest.
And I think reading that, it was a shame because things like that have started to come out because obviously as people have looked more into him, it is kind of like, well, should this person have been the, I don't know, the creator?
Well, it sort of not explains his decisions, but you sort of think, oh, okay.
Start to query everything. Well, but you know, the thing that...
You can write this article, right? Mm. So obviously you have some sort of issue with black people.
Yeah.
That's, for me, that's what I got from that article.
But the thing that I think is actually a real shame is, like, as I said, this is such a big, TV series.
And he's the first black director to have a major show
on
Atlantic. So exactly. It is groundbreaking in that sense.
Exactly. And it was something, like I said, that I was actually quite looking forward
to watching. Yeah.
However, this has put a bit of a, I don't know, like a tarnish, a bad taste in terms of, am I going to watch it? Should I watch it? You know, I don't want to not support the other, like, you know, black actors and actresses in it, you know. Plus, it's such an important...
it's a good... You know, it's probably a good story as
subject
well.
Subject matter, exactly. Mm. You know, so I'm kind of on the fence at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's there on Sky Atlantic. I've got it on my saved items to watch it, but... I've just been a little bit reluctant, but
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I should just watch the first
episode. Maybe we should just let it simmer a bit.
Yeah.
let it just,
yeah, watch the first episode and maybe I'll just hold my opinion until then, because, you know, if it's good TV, it's good TV.
Yeah.
So you just got back from
Granada.
No, I was gonna say Barcelona. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's so strange. From Granada.
Yes.
How was it? You actually travelled by yourself, didn't you?
Yes, I did a solo trip.
Yeah, so your eat, pray, love.
Yeah.
Kumbaya. I'm going to find myself.
Not really. No.
How was it?
It was really good. There was a lot of eating, exploring. Yeah. So maybe eat, explore, and an unwind trip, I guess. Yeah.
And how do you think you would do, like, a solo trip like that again?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, okay.
I found it super, super relaxing because I didn't have to think about where I was going to go or, you know, should I go here? It was just nice to just make my own decisions and just wander around. And if I decided to just stop somewhere, I could just do that.
Yeah.
So, I think it gives a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
Which you don't have when you're traveling in a group. Traveling in a group is fun as well. I've done that. I've traveled with 9 women before.
Wow,
that was interesting.
That's too much.
Interesting and fun.
That's too much.
But
it
was a lot of women. Yeah.
I find that at every point, at every holiday that I've been to, there's a point where everyone annoys me.
You need to withdraw.
Yeah.
You're like,
and I probably, to be fair, annoy everyone.
I just need 10 minutes or
take some time out.
I need to take some time out. So, but it was fun. It was really liberating and freeing. I really loved it.
Okay.
I'll do it again. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. It's great. Good food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well, me, as I said, I actually did go to Barcelona,
but that was just
for work. I literally just stopped there for a day and came back to London. And then it's just been the usual work type situation, but we're counting down to the Easter.
Yes, we've got
holiday.
The Easter. Tomorrow's the last day of work.
Yeah, which will be good.
Yeah, so that's good. And we've got 2 days off.
Yeah, probably. And we're thinking about going to a networking event.
Yeah. Well, we said maybe, right?
Maybe.
I think that
maybe.
Was...
So...
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's Thursday and this
Business networking, which is always interesting. which I don't know what number episode we recorded where we actually like broke it down, like the whole like networking.
That was either the first or second episode. Actually.
So I haven't been to one like you for ages.
In a while. I haven't been to one either, so I'm a bit rusty.
Yeah, on the network etiquette. Yeah. So that should be quite interesting. And then obviously just a long 4-day weekend is always quite a nice relaxing time, hopefully.
Busy.
You're busy for you.
Yeah, because everyone tends to just do stuff, arrange stuff around Easter.
You know
Easter.
What? I have made no plans because I kept on forgetting it was bank holiday. So I'm like, I'm free. I'm ready.
Oh, nice.
I'm just going to relax and chill.
Ready to get out there.
No, be in my house.
I'm
looking forward to that. Just, you know, getting, you know, Netflix out and just having a good, like, chill session. So,
Netflix and chill.
Yes, definitely. By myself.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a little break, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to Colour Out the Box. And so today we're going to be talking about self-care.
Oh, nice.
Wellness, well-being, and sort of the whole sort of mental health, well, which that's sort of a separate sort of thing, but all that stuff sort of comes together, I think, when we talk about well-being and self-care. And I mean, why did we... I think we just sort of wanted to talk, because we've seen it. We've sort of seen a lot of hashtags.
Yeah.
And a lot of people talking about it and stuff. So we were like, what? There's something going on.
Yeah. And what it really means about, like, so I feel like it's become one of those like buzzwords. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you see it a lot on the internet, like, you know, my self-care routine.
Yeah. Self-care Sunday. Self-care Sunday.
And stuff like that. And it's almost become... It's used a lot, so now I always kind of like, you know, am I taking care of myself? What is self-care and what it means to other people? So I thought it would be quite good to like for us to talk about
it. Yeah, yeah. Like, is it, I think, you know, one of the questions as well is like, what is, how do you define self-care?
But that's what I think it means different things to different people. Yeah. So like, for me, I just... When I think of like self-care, like I think about like, you know, just taking time out for myself and just maybe like shutting myself off from the world. I know other people see it as like, you know, their like health and like, you know, eating right and stuff like that. Then there's, you know, there's like things like meditation, things like that. But I don't know, I feel like it's just, like I said, it's become one of those words that people use it, like, what's your self-care routine? And
exactly.
I remember being like, I don't know, like, I haven't really thought about it. And they're like, oh no, you must have a self-care routine. And I was like, oh, okay, that made me stressed and everything. So
yeah, so it's the opposite of self-care then.
Yeah. So like, it made me think like, oh, well, what is my self-care routine? Should I have one?
Yeah.
How about you?
So for me, self-care, just, I think similar to what you said, it's sort of taking time out to just re-energize, regroup, reflect.
How do you do that?
You see, again, it's this word, isn't it, self-care? But for me, I've always just done, I feel like I've always just done that.
Because
anyway,
that's the thing,
so,
is it a thing or is it just literally just like, well, looking after yourself?
Yeah, it's just looking after yourself.
Yeah.
So stuff that I've always done is go for walks, go for walks, especially in nature, either with, if you know, we live in London, so either in the park or by canals and stuff like that. So that's something I've always sort of thought was important as well, is to live near sort of green spaces. So... For me, the outdoors and green spaces is
which
really
is not
important.
Always easy when you do live in like a city like London, like finding yourself that bit of greenery
exactly
can be
yeah.
a bit difficult.
Yeah. Luckily, I've always found myself near some sort of nature, which is quite good. For me as well, just sometimes just taking time out, you know, I think everyone in London is so busy, we're all rushing somewhere, so really just
always
slowing
in a hurry.
down, always in a hurry, so slowing down, like maybe that weekend, that Saturday, I actually don't have anything to do. Mm. And that's actually my plan.
Yeah, exactly.
My plan is to not have plans. Yeah, so yeah. I'm just going to, you know, wake up whenever I want, let my body just wake up with, you know, work out if I'm going to do that, and just chill, do things that actually I want to do, that I enjoy doing.
But I think that's the key, is that because it's so busy, we're exposed to so much information.
Yeah.
I think for me, sometimes I literally just have to switch off.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I find myself like mobile phones. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is look at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go to bed, look at my phone.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm reading the news on it, I'm watching something, someone's messaging me.
Yeah.
And there'll be days where I'll just be like, right, just going to put the phone down, leave it at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a few hours to myself.
Because you will survive without your phone. You
Everyone else is like, where are you? Like, they'll get a hold of you.
I know, yeah. When I was in Granada, I was doing the whole, I guess that you could define that as a self-care thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't have any data. So I wasn't online.
Mm.
And finally, when I got today, I had this message, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? I haven't contacted you in 5 hours.
Going to those times before there was like mobile phones.
Yeah.
Like, you could just go off somewhere. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You survived. So yeah, that's, I think for me, that's part of self-care as well, just switching off.
And especially because like with like Twitter and like the internet, there's always like, I don't know, there's something going on. So recently we had the terrorist attack in Westminster.
Yeah.
And then there was all the news around that. And then there's all the stuff that's going on in the States. Mm. And it can be almost exhausting in terms of like taking in all that information and processing it and understanding from your perspective. Sometimes I'm just like, right, I have to switch off.
It is sometimes, I think it does get too much. I think we live in a time where I don't know if our brains were supposed to receive so much
information. You're literally bombarded. In that way.
Yeah. It's just because it's so much, like, there's how much can you actually retain? And that's why I think there's been issues with memory for a lot of people as well. People actually are not having that short-term memory.
And I think it's literally because there's so much.
Because there's so much,
and even when you think of, like, the news cycle, something will be in the news, then something else comes up, then this is trending, then this is no longer trending, and you're just like, you can't even keep up.
So you don't even know what's important. What's actually the important news? Mm. You know, because, you know, we have all this stuff going on with Syria as well. There's always something, you know, it's...
Are we going to war? Are we not going to war? Are we in the EU? Are we out of the EU?
Well, we're out. So much. So. Yeah, that's been decided. Yeah.
But still, it's like, you know, can I go to Barcelona? Will my passport go through? I don't know.
Yeah. What line are you going to go through?
Yeah, exactly. But that's why I do think like you do have to kind of like take time out. But when I think about it, like, if I was to say to my mum, for instance, like, oh, you know, what's your self-care? And she'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's not really something that her generation worried about in terms of, like, oh, you know, I need to make sure I have time for myself. Like, that wasn't really an option, if I'm honest.
No, it wasn't. No.
So are we being a bit soft, like, you know, in comparison to, like, our, like, parents or... You know, because I do feel like sometimes, like I said, these buzzwords come around and, you know, you have to look after yourself, maintain yourself.
Mm.
And like I said, it's not just living.
Yeah, I think, that's interesting. It's like, is it actually a luxury?
Yeah, I feel like self-care...
To think about self-care, because, you know, we live in a pretty good part of the world.
Yeah.
You know, so we're lucky to...
Yeah.
To live the lifestyle that we have. So to the fact that we can actually give room to think about self-care, it feels like a very
first world problem. Like, I just don't have enough time for myself.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
But other people have real problems.
Yeah. That's how I need to like
switch off.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that makes it sort of seem, is it just a hashtag? Is it something that we should be taking seriously?
Yeah.
yeah, it's interesting. I think from that perspective, that is it actually just a first world luxury?
Yeah, and I kind of take all these kind of like things with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because some of it I'm like, oh, is it common sense? But then at the same time, I think of people that do kind of like, you know, take the time out for themselves, and they do seem happier. So maybe I'm the one that's just hating on people people being happy.
I think, do you know what? I think it actually is important in the sense that, like we said, we're, you know, London, such a busy city, bombarded with so much, you know, super stressful mega city, that if you actually don't take time to, you know, to just take a step back, it can be detrimental to your health if you just keep going without stopping.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And I think also it's funny because I remember, like, in my 20s, you know, even when I think about my lifestyle and the things that I used to do, like, you know, little sleep, going out, eating whatever, drinking whatever. Now, literally, every time someone offers me some food, I'm like, what's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, where's that from? No, I don't eat that. No.
Just being a bit more aware of what you...
Definitely.
Of what you
eat. I'm so more conscious of, like, what I put inside my body.
Yeah.
And not just, like, oh, it has to be organic, but I really think about, okay, what's inside that? I'm conscious about what I put on my skin, what I put on my hair. But even that in itself, sometimes I do get a little bit kind of like, oh, I'm just going to have a McDonald's.
That's your cheat day. You can have a cheat day.
I'm just going to, oh, forget it. Just going to have a McDonald's and just like, it's fine.
Because sometimes that's all a girl needs.
I'll keep living. It's fine.
That's all you need sometimes.
I'll eat those kale chips tomorrow.
Kale chips are really, they don't taste good.
No, I don't even like kale.
Kale I like in just as a vegetable, but the chips angle of it, I feel like
it's a conspiracy.
I know, it's
what I don't think it's a real food.
Well, it
I feel like it's like you know, like nettles? Like, I don't know, or like bush on the tree kind of thing. Like, why don't we eat that? We're eating kale.
Yeah, okay, see what
why don't we just eat the leaves off the tree? We're
eating seaweed. We can eat that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Where you're
I suppose so. But yeah, kale, not
you're
for
not
me.
Buying
I'm
it.
Not convinced. I feel like it's a conspiracy to make us like eat this thing.
I know, it's one of the superfoods.
Yeah, they're lying to us.
Yeah,
don't believe
know.
The hype. But anyway, we've gone off on a bit of a tangent.
Yeah,
so yeah,
kale
my hatred
chips.
Of kale. Yeah. But yeah, like as I said, like in terms of like food, I definitely take more of like, okay, need to think about what I'm putting inside of my body, and not even just from a calorie kind of perspective. I'm literally I am thinking like, what's inside that? Like, you know, how is that chicken or fish been farmed?
Yeah.
And you know, those eggs, you know, are they free range? Are they organic? And yeah, it can be quite exhausting sometimes
to look at everything.
And analyze things. And like you were saying, I do kind of also feel guilty for saying that, oh, I feel a bit overwhelmed or tired because, you know, why, you know, your life is fine. Why are you getting stressed?
Yeah. Mm.
But it can be quite overwhelming in terms of like balancing work, balancing your friends' life.
It's almost like that's the modern, sort of this modern society that we're living in. I think across the globe, every major city is having the same issues with some of these things, and maybe that's why the whole self-care thing is on the rise, and that's why there's so many people talking about it as well. It's just because maybe they're noticing that people who live in big cities you know, maybe actually more likely to suffer from depression, from anxiety, from loneliness.
Yeah.
So these are some of the issues that are actually modern society issues.
But I feel like maybe not so much in society as a whole, but definitely within the Black community.
Yeah.
There's still a stigma to say, I can't cope. Or
yes, absolutely.
I have anxiety, or I'm feeling anxious, or... you know, I'm stressed, I'm, you know, I feel like, you know, or even just to say that, oh, I'm
seeking, I need to talk to someone.
I'm seeking
help,
you know.
Yeah.
And that stigma is still, I think, there.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I think the reaction you get probably from certain generations, and even maybe our generation as well, is, oh, maybe you just need to go to church more.
Definitely.
You just need to pray out.
Pray on
just
it.
Just pray out. Pray on it.
Which is good advice.
Which, you know, that's, it is good advice.
Yeah.
And you can pray on it and you can go to church on it.
Yeah.
But for certain things,
yeah,
you do need to get that extra help.
Like when you have a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what antidepressants are supposed to do. They're supposed to rebalance you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm saying that everyone should just start popping pills.
No, no, yeah.
But I do, you know, because even me personally, there's been times when I've been like, I just feel, I get quite anxious sometimes, especially in like large groups of people. And I always feel like, you know, I should seek help for it. But then at the same time, the thought of having to tell people, oh, I've gone to see someone about like, my anxiety, makes me anxious.
Yeah, even that as well. I know. It's funny enough, I was having a conversation at work today about, we were talking about mental health issues, and it was like, it was the same thing, that, you know, having anxiety and not being able to talk about it, and sort of feeling disappointed in yourself, but also ashamed.
That why can't I cope?
Why? Yeah, exactly. And I remember my colleague, I just said to her, like, well, I commend you for being courageous enough to actually say, you know what, I'm actually going to seek help for this. I'm going to speak to someone.
Because if it was any other situation,
like, you'd go to your doctor.
There's something wrong with you, I'm going to go to the doctor. It's like, you know, something physically wrong, like, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
But what I even find, and I remember I actually read an article about this, that there's so many people, more people are going to the doctor just saying that they're fatigued.
Mm.
So I'm tired, I'm constantly tired.
Yeah.
And it's nothing physical.
Mm.
It's just more that you're mentally tired, which is causing you to be physically tired.
Tired, yeah, yeah.
And there's no real cure for that apart from you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Or there's maybe something, you know, there's something wrong, but it's not like a physical thing.
Mm.
And that, I think sometimes where you are going, things like, you know, you feel overwhelmed, you're feeling like mentally tired, it's easy to jump to, oh, I need to take some more iron tablets, or, you know, doctor needs to prescribe me something, rather than actually looking at the root cause in terms
of
that. Okay, maybe I'm just not coping
with
anything that's going on.
Yeah.
But even saying that, it's still quite taboo.
Definitely. I don't know. Is the black community changing? Is attitudes changing towards that, do you think? I don't know. I
think slowly. Yeah. I think more people are maybe a little bit more aware.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's still kind of the standard answer is like, you know, if I was to say to, like, I don't know, like my aunt, like, oh, I'm not feeling happy.
Mm.
It's like, right, let's pray.
Yeah.
You know, let's, you know, and sometimes I'm like, well, I need a bit more, or something alternative to prayer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I get really anxious, and it's like, oh no, you just need to get over it.
Mm.
So
I've heard that as well. Just you're going through a phase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, if you know, yeah, you can. Yeah, you know, there are definitely times when you are just going through a phase.
Yeah,
where there's
of
something
course.
Big going on in your life,
and
you're
know
anxious
what?
About
life
it.
Life is stressful, like
so we do go through ups and downs, but it's just when the downs stay for a really long time.
Exactly.
That's when you need to be sort of, you know, a bit sort of aware that this might actually need a bit of extra attention.
Yeah.
But I think, so in that sense, going back to self-care, if that is something that can sort of, you know, make people aware of their own sort of self, like their own mental health and being in good mental health before you get to that point where, you know, things spiral down, then I guess it is a good thing.
And I think... like I said, like I'm a bit of a on the fence about the whole self-care in quotation marks type thing, because as I say, I feel like sometimes it's a bit of spin and internet spin.
Yeah, I think there is. It's there, you know, with these things, there's always going to be spin, and there's always just going to be
a bit of a fad,
and people are, and I think big corporations are gonna cash in on it as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's gonna be that big corporation say, look at that. Let's make, there's money to be made here. If we call it self-care, it'll sell.
Yeah.
Because that's really in at the moment. So yeah, definitely. I think we need to be careful how we, you know, go about our self-care. You know, I like a good spa.
Yeah.
Spa weekend, you know what
it's
I mean?
True.
Like, that's nice.
Yeah, relax.
Relax, but, you know, that's one thing. But you don't want to start, like, I don't know, who knows what, maybe there's some sort of self-care subscription.
Is there?
There could be. Do you know what? There could be. Maybe I'm just giving some big corporation an idea. Self-care subscription that you subscribe to monthly and you get your self-care package.
Mm.
And it has, I don't know what it'll have.
What oils?
Or I don't know. I can't think of what it'll have, but something.
Yeah.
Self-care.
You're giving
related.
Away all the ideas now.
Yeah, I know. Let's just start.
Someone's starting that business right now.
Self-care subscription.
But yeah, I going back to, like, you know, the whole, like, mental health kind of, like, awareness. I think about even when I was younger, like, you know, some of the things that we used to say about people that now, thinking about it, they were having mental health issues. But being kids, being really, you know, immature, naive, you didn't recognise that. I think I'm probably more conscious of it. But again, like I keep on saying, in terms of, like, within the Black community, even the African community, it's kind of like, when I think about if, you know, someone maybe is not feeling great mentally, it's like, oh, is there a demon inside them, or you know, they need to be delivered, or that kind of thing. Or, you know, I can even think, like, probably if I was to say, like, oh, you know, I think there's something wrong, maybe they'll send me to Nigeria to, like, you know,
put you in some sort of Christian
born
again Christian camp or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably being extreme.
But I know what you mean.
But then I don't, me personally, I don't think, like, you know, it's all about then just, like, start taking, you know, pills and things like that. Like, you know, I think it could be, like,
because you don't want to have, again, it's medication as well, isn't it? People living through or living on drugs, being able to do life on medication.
And a part of it, I do also feel like, you know, like I said, life is stressful. This is life. This is what being an adult is. And that, I think, again, when you're younger, the realization of, like, those are, like, your best years. Adulthood is real, and it doesn't get any, like, much better. Like, it's nice, but it's stressful.
Yeah, it's gonna be, it's life, it's gonna have its ups and downs. It's not, you know, it's not a walk in the park. I think as an adult, somewhat, that's when the responsibilities pile on. And it's a little dealing with that, isn't it?
I think about, like, when I was younger, I was, like, so desperate to, like, you know, become an adult.
So
and,
was
you know,
I, yeah.
Do
yeah.
things and, like, yeah, I'm going to drive, I'm going to have my flat. And now I'm just like, oh. Even the other day, I was getting dressed for work and I was, like, stressing about what to wear. And I was like, oh, I remember when I used to wear uniform to school.
Just
that was
every
so
day.
Good.
Yeah,
and I remember when I was in school, I hated it so much wearing a uniform. But now I'm just like, oh, I wish it was just like a work uniform. I'll just go to work in, like, the same outfit. I don't have to go through the stress in the morning as to what to wear.
I know. When I was a kid, I think one thing that I always used to think about was, I can't wait to buy my own toilet paper.
Okay.
Then I'll have my own place and I can just buy my own toilet paper. It was weird. And now it's the worst now buying toilet paper is, like, the least, it's such a pain. You're just like, oh, I need to get toilet paper. Oh
wow, you had, like, big things.
I had
big
dreams.
Yeah.
Buy toilet paper, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Now you've got your own.
Some kids have dreams.
Yeah. So what would you say would be, like, your, like, I don't know, your main recommendations for, like, looking after yourself? I'm not gonna say self care again.
Okay.
Said it,
just
but,
look at, looking after yourself. I think for me, a couple of things. One of the main things is switching off from just the digital sort of life. I think switching off from that once in a while, going on a detox on, like, a digital detox. I think for me that's really important. Mm. If people can just learn to switch off.
Yeah, definitely.
Instead of just being on the phone the whole time. Yeah. Because that's for me, that's my recommendation to myself. That's something I have to tell myself.
Mm.
You know, every now and again, where I'm like, okay, Jay, you've this is too much now.
You've got to switch off.
Your fingers are hurting. Mm. Like, because you've been.
You know, I worry about my posture of constantly just having my neck tilted, looking down at my phone. I think like, oh my gosh, I need to like stand up straight.
I know. Yeah. I think I walked a couple of weeks ago. I must have walked into something because I was looking at my phone. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's a real issue. It's a real problem. So that's my recommendation to people and to myself. Mm. Another thing that's important for me as well is just getting, you know, being out in nature. So I love going for walks and it just clears my head.
Yeah.
It just really clears my head and I come back a bit more refreshed.
Mm.
So being out in nature, whether it's, you know, I know sometimes going on a holiday can be stressful, but when I get there, if it's by the ocean or by the sea, I make sure to go
along. You just feel calm again.
Yeah, I just make sure to go on long walks by the water. Or, if I'm in London, out in my local park. Mm. I think those are the two main things. Little things like light a candle, watch your favourite show, watch Netflix, put your comfy clothes on and put a blanket.
I think for me, like, I think whenever I think of self-care, I always think like remembering to laugh. I remember there was like a hashtag, I think it's called Black Girl Joy. And it's true, like, just sometimes like thinking like, gosh, when was the last time I actually like had a really good laugh about something really silly? And just how much better you kind of like feel after that. It was Black Girl Joy and it was Carefree Black Girl.
Carefree Black Girl, yes.
And then I also think about, I did one of those personality tests at work, Myers-Briggs, and I am ISTJ.
What's that?
So I am a strong introvert.
Oh.
So it just means that I have to, I get tired from too much interaction with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I always find that by the end of the week, Friday, I'm like ready to like, shut everything out. So like you said, taking that time out to just be a little bit quiet by myself is actually quite nice. But at the same time, I really enjoy like a one-to-one conversation. You know, just talking to somebody one-to-one and just, you know, really listening to them. That's part of my self-care routine, and drinking water.
That's a good one.
Drinking loads of water.
But we don't drink enough water.
I do now.
Oh, well, have you got one of those stopwatches?
I got one of those bottles with like the times on it.
Oh.
So then it's almost it each part of the day. So I'm always thinking like, oh, I'm not drunk up to 11 o'clock yet. So I have to
drink. I don't drink enough water. And I think sometimes that's what makes me just either get low in energy or just makes me feel a bit...
You need it, definitely.
...cloudy in my head and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it'd probably be quite good to, like, hear other people's kind of, like, what's their self-care routine? What do they do to keep themselves sane and, you know, balanced and leveled?
I think it's, you know, it's probably same with you, but, you know, bring on the advice, like, the stuff that I would love to incorporate.
I need it, definitely.
Yeah, so...
whatever's going to make my life better, I will definitely take it.
So it'd be great to hear what you guys think. How do you do self-care? You know, if you don't like that phrase, then...
What would you call it?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, let's start a discussion about that and see what we find.
Okay, so we're going to just take a short break and we'll be right back. Hi and welcome back, and it's my favourite part of the show. It's our highlight of the week. I feel like we need a theme tune.
For the highlight of the week.
Highlight of the week. Oh no. Let me work on it. Your face was like, no, don't do this.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Don't do
this. Highlight of the week.
So, so it's time for our highlight of the week. And basically, this is where we talk about amazing things that are going on, positive things that we want to literally highlight, put in the spotlight. I want to talk about British Vogue's new editor-in-chief,
mm-hmm.
Edward, and I'm going to try and pronounce his surname, Enifor. And he is become, he's got the top job at British Vogue.
Yeah.
And I saw the press and it was like loads of people reporting he's the first male. And I was like, no, he's the first black male.
Well, it's two things, isn't it? He's the first male and then he's also the first black person.
Exactly. Mm. So it's amazing news. Such a big achievement as well. Yeah. Obviously, Vogue is like a fashion institution.
Absolutely. And, fashion Bible.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And British Vogue is probably up there with American Vogue in terms of the one of the most respected publications.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it's just really nice. I'm just really looking forward to him shaking things up.
Mm.
Making it really like cool and modern,
yeah,
and also including some people of color. You never know.
But I was saying this up to a friend the other day.
Mm.
Yeah, that is true, but he still got a readership.
Definitely. So. But I feel like this was a move to maybe expand their readership.
Yeah, I think definitely.
Because the fact is, people, less and less people are buying print magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I just feel like this is Vogue's way of saying, like, okay, right, we need to get the young people in. We need to get them buying publications again. Yeah.
For the new generation.
Exactly. Mm. And this is the way to attract it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was fashion director at ID magazine at the age of 18.
Wow.
When I think about what I was doing when I was 18, what was I doing?
What were you doing?
I was working part-time. Probably at Marks and Spencer, I think, at the time. And then spending all my money on my phone bill and stretch jeans.
and this man was...
And hair gel, sorry, because I went through a phase of, like, dyeing my hair. Anyway, we'll move past that. I didn't, like, sculpt it around my eyebrow or anything like that.
Did you do, like, the curly stuff?
Yeah, of course. That was the style. The curled sideburn.
Oh,
anyway,
right.
It's, to be fair, it's come back in fashion anyway.
You need to see those pictures.
Yeah,
I need evidence.
No one needs to see those pictures. But yeah, like, that's what I was doing when I was 18, and this guy was like, you know, had like a top
major
job
magazine, yeah,
at like a major magazine.
But he's super talented.
Yeah,
I mean, what's he been doing? He's sort of been a fashion director.
Yeah,
and every sort of photo shoot or print edition and stuff that he's directed have just been amazing. Mm. So I'm excited.
I mean, we posted the news on our Instagram and, you know, got loads of comments.
Mm.
One of them was like, historic, and that was the end of the comment.
Yeah, well, that's enough.
That's it.
That's enough.
Exactly.
That sums it up.
So, yeah, I'm really happy that, you know, we got to see this, and, like, you know, I'm looking forward to, like, his, you know, first, like, edition.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to now the September issue as well.
Yeah,
which is always exciting.
That's gonna, yeah,
so
absolutely.
And to see what he's gonna do. You know, they did like this documentary on the BBC about Vogue magazine when the previous editor was still there. Her name is Alex something.
Shulman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and she's so different. She's very, very
she's sort of
English, British.
Well, she's British establishment.
Yeah,
she's sort
exactly.
of old British establishment, that sort of thing.
I would just love for them to, like,
very classic.
Repeat that same kind of, like, documentary, but maybe just documenting, like, the first few months of him taking over.
Because
it would just be just so interesting to see, like, you know, what changes he makes and how people react to him. But
you know, he's not new to the fashion.
Of course,
so
not
he's
new. Very well respected.
Yeah, very well respected. So,
yeah.
I think, in a way, maybe for sort of the fashion insiders, it's probably not a surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, Vogue is really shaking things up.
Yeah.
Even there, so the Teen Vogue version in the US, that's also got a black woman as the editor-in-chief.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think, what's her name? Elaine Welteroth or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that. Yeah, and she's shaking things up as well. So Vogue is... It's interesting. It's an interesting time compared to when I was young and I used to look at Vogue and stuff. So, it's really interesting.
Well, exciting things to come.
Yeah.
And also, you know, this is a win for the Ghanaians out there.
Yeah.
Well done.
Chale,
well done. This is where all the Ghanaians, like, switch off.
Yeah. No, I love my Ghanaians, so Chale.
Yeah,
no.
It's a win for you guys.
It's a win.
You got this one. You got it. Okay,
that's
so what's
news.
Your highlight, Jay?
Oh, my highlight. So last night I went to see an amazing, phenomenal singer called...
You went out last night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to a concert.
Okay, sorry. I'm just sorry. I'm just like interrupted. Right. I think I was just shocked by like you going out on like a weeknight.
I know, no.
Like you what went out on it? A weeknight?
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Sexy Tuesday. No, okay stop.
So
no.
Sorry, where did you go?
So, I went to see this amazing, phenomenal singer called Somi.
Oh, okay.
And so she's American, but originally from Uganda and Rwanda.
Oh.
And so she's just released an album called Petite Afrique, which is sort of about living in Harlem. That's where she's from. And yes, absolutely stunning singer. She's a jazz singer. I think she's a... Well, there's also a bit of classical in there as well.
Oh.
Just stunning singer. Like, she, when she sang it, the whole room was quiet and everyone was just in awe.
I don't think I've not heard her stuff.
Yeah, she's not... She's really not that big. Like, well, she's big, but...
Where did you see her?
At Pizza Express Jazz Cafe.
Oh, okay.
So Pizza Express does these jazz sessions.
Oh, okay.
Like down in their basement.
I never knew they
did
that.
It's like a proper like jazz, very jazzy.
Like, you know.
Dark room.
Where people
red
in
chairs.
Like Baker Boy hats.
There was one person in a Baker Boy hat.
They're cool people.
Just one.
Them cool cats.
Yeah, that's a cool cat. It's a bit like Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah,
Scott's, so yeah, it was absolutely beautiful, beautiful singer. So we met her afterwards because we just had to.
Oh, you actually got to meet her?
Yeah, we got to meet her.
Nice.
Yeah, and even bought a CD. Like,
oh, you spent money.
Like a CD.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God I have something to play it on because otherwise, where would I
you
play
know what?
A CD?
I was thinking about that because someone wanted to buy me a CD and I'm like, I can play it in my car. I have a CD
player. You have a CD player in your car?
Yeah,
still.
My car was quite old.
Where else do you have? You don't.
Nah,
otherwise, you
that's,
don't.
That's
oh, you
it.
Can play it on your laptop. Hello?
Yeah. I think there's a CD drive.
There
I have not
be.
Opened it for like years.
Eons.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like.
I still listen to CDs.
Yeah,
I still do.
I don't. I can remember the last time I physically bought a CD.
Yeah, so this, we even told her. I don't know if we should have. We were like, we haven't bought, my friend and I went, we haven't bought a CD in years. So you're the first CD. Yeah.
So but I think it's so easy to like download music now. So everyone's like, because you,
I know,
you can get it
Spotify.
Like straight away.
Yeah, yeah. But I think because we were just like, yeah, I think she deserved it. Or just, yeah.
Oh,
nice. So such a, I think, probably the highlight. One of the best concerts I've
really?
Been to. Absolutely. Just stunning voice.
Mm.
Absolutely stunning voice. And such a great storyteller in her voice as well. Like, when she sings, you're actually listening to what she's saying and just following the story of what she's saying. So.
Well, what we can make sure we do then is just put some links in the podcast description people can like have a listen.
You will.
You know, I will have a listen, actually.
Yes, you actually
really
will
good.
Regret it. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, well, we've come to the end part of our show.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Sad times.
But one thing I do want to do is actually is read out some reviews.
Oh yeah.
So so you can find us obviously on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, oh my gosh, Acast, Google Play.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, we're literally.
So just search,
to be honest,
Colour Out the Box.
Search
and you'll
Colour
find
Out the Box
us.
And you'll find us. And subscribe to us. Which
subscribe
is
to
important.
Us and write reviews. Let us know what you
exactly,
think.
Exactly. And you can find us also on Twitter. We tweet back. We're constantly in conversation with people. And also, you can just comment on our Instagram. It's always quite funny to see the discussions that happens in the comments.
Yeah.
But one of the things I did say was that if you review us, we're going to read your review.
Oh, yes.
Good or bad?
Oh, okay.
Good or bad? Rate us even one star. We'll read it. We'll read it. I'll definitely read
that one.
So we have two new reviews. So this is the title of review is called Struck a Chord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Struck a chord.
Starts off dramatic.
I love that.
Yeah. So this is from, I think, Pache Dosa.
Okay.
And I'm assuming...
Someone's username or something.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it's a girl or a guy, and just say that, this is the podcast I've been looking for.
Ooh. Oh.
Humorous insights. in the daily experience of people of color.
Right.
Nice.
I like that.
5 stars.
Oh, amazing. We love you.
Just to be clear, we won't always read the ones that are 5 stars. Mm. And then we had another one, and it's called London Perspective. And the user is literally just a list of numbers. So I'm not going to read those numbers. Yeah. Because I feel like that's probably like an important number to them.
Yeah.
So Mo and Jay bring to life current affairs and modern day life in London with their witty yet warm personalities.
That's so lovely to hear.
I feel like I'm quite cold though.
Witty and warm.
I don't think we get described as
witty
warm.
And warm.
I'm like physically cold and also
cold.
I'm quite a cold person. But anyway, we'll move on. Let's not let that decide.
No, she's actually very warm.
There's still more. They will definitely have you in stitches at some point.
Oh, right. Okay. I was like, in stitches. Like, just no, I thought that was where it ended. At some point. So at some point.
During the podcast, you may be in stitches. So
okay.
Be ready.
Should we? I can take that.
Brace yourself.
Yeah, I can take that.
Interesting. So, yeah. So, as I said, if you rate and review us on iTunes or... subscribe to us on SoundCloud and leave a comment, we're gonna read it.
Yeah, so thank you so much for leaving reviews though. Yes, it's so important. We actually want to hear the feedback. We want to hear what people are saying, because it helps us to be better at what we're doing. And
someone told me they didn't write it on as a review. I was told via WhatsApp from someone that listened to the show, said, Mo, you say amazing too much.
Oh,
and sometimes
really?
It's sarcastic and sometimes it's sincere. So I'm like,
what? So they can hear that in your voice?
Yeah. So I've really tried not to say today amazing.
I haven't heard you say amazing.
No, not
you
today.
Probably have, but yeah. I just haven't noticed.
So, you know,
is that your new
critique? Like that is always welcome. Amazing.
So, you just did it.
Yeah. So, bring on more like that. So,
yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
So, we've come to the end of our show.
Sadly.
Yeah. And please do, as I say, subscribe. Listen to our past episodes and let us know what you think. And as I said, you can find us at colouroutthebox.com and email us at colouroutthebox@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll always love to hear from you.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, it would be great to hear from you.
You know what? Tag us in like funny memes. I love a funny
meme. Yes.
I always laugh.
A good meme is good. When it's good,
I'm always like, that's funny.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye. Let me be the first to know.